Oh, that's right. We're right here, Sharp Facets Gallery, this afternoon, 4:06 in the afternoon. How you doing today, everybody? Boy, you know, this is the time of the year that I just love because we start getting those fresh vegetables. And anybody that's been to the farmer's market, it's been uptown Greenwood for many years now, has seen a woman there working very hard with her family out there putting out a top-notch product. Yes, it's Penny Parisi here with Parisi Farms. And Penny, how you doing today?
Very good, thank you.
It's such a delight to finally get you on the radio. You know, for years I've been buying vegetables, and I know you don't actually grow the blackberries or the strawberries, but I love those too. Yeah. So you have made quite an impact in our area.
Thank you.
Absolutely. But what I find interesting is that you actually are a jeweler by trade.
Yes, ma'am.
How does one go from jewelry to farming?
For 20 years, I lived in South Florida, in Venice, Florida, and I had my own jewelry business. And
Smart woman not to have to be in it anymore.
I did my time. I did 20 years, and then I decided to retire. But at that time, I was still 45, so I felt when I moved, I was a little too young to
just
be retired. Yes, ma'am.
So how did you end up, what made you pick Abbeville?
We had been looking in Georgia and South Carolina, and I wanted to live, I liked the Lexington area, I liked Lake Murray, and we started looking there, and my husband said it was too populated, so we came over to Lake Greenwood.
Yeah.
And our realtor sent us to Abbeville for lunch, and my husband fell in love with it.
That is a great place, isn't it?
It is pretty.
Yeah. So now you've moved to Abbeville. What made you get into farming?
When I got to Abbeville, I didn't feel that I had enough sources. I like to eat without chemicals, and I'm very particular, and I like a lot of fresh produce, and that was very available in Florida. So I decided that I would start growing my own food, is how I started.
Had you done gardening before? I just need to ask.
In Florida, I live close to the beach, so it wasn't successful. Anything that I did, I planted roses and landscaping, and it wasn't very successful because of the sandy soil.
Sure. So now you come here to South Carolina, where we have great red clay.
Oh, and every seed I put in the ground the first year came up. I was, like, so excited. That clay, I was so happy with the clay.
You were happy with the clay.
Yes, ma'am.
I find it hard to work with, but now I guess you didn't really have any experience in that. How did you go about learning how to do it?
I did not have experience. When I was real little, I was raised in Michigan when I was 2 and 3, and my grandfather was a farmer, so I can remember being on his farm and the things he did. So I had always been around it when I was little, but I did not have experience. Most of what I learned was from trial and error, and was also from learning and reading and going on the internet and books.
So how big an area do you have for your farm over there in Abbeville?
Right now? Mm-hmm. Right now I have 3 acres under that are right now planted. At my house I run about 1/4 acre, and then I have 2 other properties that I have that I partnership with another farmer. So I end up with about, in the summertime, I run about 9 acres, maybe 10 acres under.
So that was a great idea for a retirement business, right?
It's as hard as I've ever worked. A farmer is a lot harder than a jeweler. A lot more
difficult.
That's
what I was thinking, yes. And, you know, when you get invested in farming, you know, it really takes on a life of its own. And the weather, you know, with this year's weather, what effect has that had on what you're growing?
I'm having good and bad. I'm not having to irrigate, so I'm saving and conserving a lot of water. The crops are coming in different because of the weather, and they're not sunny days. We've had a lot of cloudy days. So the tomatoes are coming in slower. The cucumbers, I'm having problems with them getting too much water from all the rain, so they're getting wet on top, and I'm having to start them over again. So things are coming slower this year. The crops are slower. But my spring crops are staying a little longer.
You said your tomatoes were real short. You'd never seen them that short before, right?
My tomatoes are flowered. My first batch of tomatoes, I have 3,000 plants in, and they are all flowered. They are just full of flowers, but they're only about 1 foot tall. And usually by now, they're 2 or 3 feet. And so it's making me concerned whether or not they're going to start producing this height.
At this, the dwarf tomato plant.
Yes, ma'am.
So what do you like best about farming?
I love feeding people. I love feeding people healthy food. That's probably my heart and probably why I work so hard, is I like producing something very healthy, and I like to watch the joy on people's face for them to get a nice, fresh product.
Sure.
And I tell you what, you do so, so well with that. Now, not only are you still going out to the farmers market out here behind the Civic Center, or are you just doing uptown now?
I'm on the board of directors for the Greenwood Farmers Market. I have been going for the past years. I think I've been going for 6 years now.
Right.
And I am signed up to go this year, but I don't know how often I will go. The uptown I do on Monday and Thursdays, and I'm there from 9 to 6, and then we're doing the first and third Saturdays.
So that's a lot.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
It's a lot. And I have a farm stand on the farm, too.
You have a farm stand. Yeah,
it's not open, but next week it will be.
Well, how many kids do you have?
My kids are all grown.
They're all grown? How do you get help to do this, Penny?
My daughter works with me and her boyfriend, Jeremy.
Okay. All right. So, I just wondered, you know, farm, usually those that have children, they work in the farm, they help in the farm. That's a good source of labor, right?
My son lives in Virginia. His favorite thing to do on the farm is take my picture and get out as quickly as possible. He's a photographer, and he just doesn't want to. My kids weren't raised farming, so
right.
It's hard work.
Yes, it is hard work. So who help? Do you have people that work with you and help you do this?
I do. I have Susan Bender. She's in the Master Gardener. She's 77 years old and a delight. And she comes out, and she'll plant, and she can keep up with me. She's just wonderful. I have Susan Nance from Nance Mowers. She comes and helps me once in a while. I have a lot of people that come in and out. But full-time, I use my daughter, Michelle, and Jeremy.
And yourself.
And myself, more than full time. Double time.
So what time does your day start?
Usually midnight. If I have market, it starts at midnight. Midnight's a time when I wash everything and prepare everything for market, because I like it to be very pretty. So I spend a lot of time between midnight and 7 a.m. loading the truck and washing the produce.
Do you get moon baths? You know, who was it on the Addams Family? They like to go out and go moon bathing. Morticia used to go out and go moon bathing. And
I don't know what that is. I used to watch that show, but I don't remember what.
Well, they take the, like you do for the sun, the reflector sheet, and be sitting out there.
Oh, I remember that. Yes.
Yes. No moon bathing for you?
No time for that.
How much produce do you produce?
I continually plant. I'm gone to year round, so I'm planting all four seasons now, and that's been for the last 2 years. And I continually plant, so I don't put tomatoes in one time.
Okay.
So within like the next week or two, I'll be planting again and again. I keep planting everything. So I couldn't really say a lot.
I just wondered poundages or
a lot.
A lot.
Yes, ma'am.
Do you think you have an obsessive personality?
I definitely have an addictive personality. I'm going to be totally honest.
Okay, good. Excellent. Well, you heard it right here on WCRS this afternoon. Hey, I'm Ann Eller. I am here with Penny Parisi, a real treasure here in our area. Yes, she was a jeweler, and now she is a farmer, and she does an excellent job. It's my utmost pleasure to be sitting down to talk with her today. Hey, we're going to hear a quick word from our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
Gold. Gold. More precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need cash? Then bring it to SFG. That's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood. Telephone 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds too. Paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery.
Well, we're right back here at Sharp Facets Gallery, and now Penny did live down there in Venice, Florida for 20-some years, but she was born in Michigan, raised in South Florida, but what did your parents do?
My mother stayed at home. She was a homemaker.
Right.
My father was a self-employed builder, contractor.
So did he believe in child labor?
Yes.
Yes.
My father worked very hard, and we worked with him.
Yeah, exactly. So don't you think that, though, when you look at growing up and the way society is today and everything, that did give you an awesome work ethic, didn't it?
Very. My father and my mother both taught me, if you want something, you earn it. My first car, they didn't give it to me. I had to earn it.
Yeah.
And they taught me, you work hard and you get things and do well in the community.
Sure. Well, I think that is something that stays with a lot of people. Now, when you were growing up, though, I mean, just to backtrack a little bit, what did you want to be when you grew up?
I originally went in the Army. I was going to be a nurse. I was a nurse.
You were a nurse?
And that was my career that I had chosen.
Yeah.
And once I spent three and a half years in the Army, I didn't want to, when I came out, I didn't want to
be a nurse
anymore. No.
Wow.
In civilian world, I couldn't do what I could do in the military. I was an LPN, so.
You know what the interesting thing about that is still a problem for people in the military. When they come out, we just had Carrie Bolt with Veterans Affairs on last week, mm-hmm. or earlier this week, excuse me, and we talked about the fact of all the things that military people do in jobs. They're trained in it, they're qualified in it, but when they get out, they don't have the piece of paper from the college or whatever, even though they're qualified to do the job. And one of the things that I believe, and a lot of people too, is that that needs to be changed so mm-hmm. they can continue with the careers that, if they want to, that they've had.
I agree. I was an LPN nurse in the military. I'd been through all the schooling, and I was very good at what I did. And when I got out, they told me that none of it would count towards college. If I wanted to get my RN, I would have to start everything from ground zero. So I said no.
That is such a, you know what, I'm sorry, that's such a slap in the face, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, to have been in that, it seems like the military, and to this day we're still having these same issues, and I'm sure that was 25 years ago or something like that, that you were going through that, so, wow.
30.
I think.
Well, still, but, you know, when you get out and you're trying to do something and continue with something, I think that's ridiculous. That's the one thing the military certainly could change.
Yes.
Yes, and they need to, whether they give you an exit exam or something and you prove that you know the stuff and then you're given the piece of paper that allows you to go to college or move into a different career, but you already have the background for it.
At least give you credit for the training that you've received and the work you've done.
Yes. Exactly. So, where were you stationed, just out of curiosity?
My last station was in the Pentagon. I worked in the Pentagon Army Health Clinic.
How about that?
Yes, and I was stationed in San Antonio. I went to basic training in Columbia,
yeah?
South Carolina.
South Carolina, Fort Bragg?
Mm-hmm.
No, not Fort Bragg.
Fort Jackson.
Fort Jackson, there you go.
Yes.
Yes, how about that? Yeah. Isn't that interesting?
I went to Seattle, Washington, and I was in nursing school in Seattle, Washington.
Wow.
Fort Lewis, I think it was.
Fort Lewis. Wow. What made you decide to go in the Army?
My sister talked me into it. We were going to go in as a buddy system in the Air Force.
Right.
And she was my older sister, and she was smart, and she backed out.
She backed out?
So I'll show you. I'll go in the Army. So I didn't go in the Air Force. I went in the Army, and I showed her. Sort of.
How about that? That's really interesting stuff there, Penny. So so here we are. We're talking about farming now. You're into farming. You're doing it in a big way. Interesting. How do you do it year-round? I mean, I guess you have to pick the type of crops. For example, you can't do tomatoes all year-round.
I started studying about 2 years ago. A friend of mine gave me a book and said, they're growing year-round in the winter in Maine. And it's Elliot Coleman.
Mm-hmm.
And it's called like Four Seasons, the book. And she gave it to me to read, and it was a winter time, and I decided to read it and study. And I started looking at thinking, if they can do this in Maine, what can we do here in South Carolina?
Sure.
So I started experiment with different crops to see what would last with snow or with freezing weather. And we can grow a lot here in South Carolina all year round.
All year round. Wow. So that means that you are constantly selling year round, right?
I had a very good winter season, my first very good winter season this year, yes.
What type of products did you sell?
All winter I had broccoli, lettuce, all your oriental bok choy. I did Swiss chard. I did collard greens, cabbage, kale.
All that kind of.
It grows beautiful here during the winter.
Now, just out of curiosity, do you actually propagate your own plants, or do you buy the seeds? What do you do?
I buy the seeds. I do a few hybrids. I don't do treated seeds. I try to buy organic seeds or untreated. And I try to do mostly heirloom, but I don't do all heirloom. I do some hybrids. And I grow everything from seed. I collect seeds.
You collect seeds?
Yes, ma'am.
Now, do you keep your seeds from 1 year to the next?
I do.
So you're able to, once you've made that investment and it's a good product that you like, then you can
If I don't use it all, I put them, yes, I keep them. Sometimes I just keep planting.
Keep planting. All right. Well, now I suppose you try to plant it so not everything is coming in at one time. You're planting week after week so that it come in at different times?
If I'm doing the same crop.
Yeah.
But if I'm doing different crops, it can come in all the
same
time.
Yeah. Sure. Now, I think it's very interesting because you also sell to some restaurants to provide them with fresh produce.
I do. I sell to the Village Girl. Mm-hmm. Bill and Molly have supported me for 4 years. They try to buy local and fresh as much as they can.
Right.
And I've been working with them a long time. We have a nice working relationship, and they have great food. I sell to Grits and Groceries,
mm-hmm.
and that's been for about a year now. And I sell to Montague's. I just started that this year with Montague's.
So I guess, do they ask for special things to be grown, or do they just, hey, whatever you have, that would be terrific?
It's hard to get them to ask me. I ask them every year, every season, what do you want me to grow? And Bill and Molly at the Village Grill, the only thing he's ever told me is, try some parsnips. So I grow parsnips now. But
a vegetable you don't see much down here.
I think they're afraid to ask me. Yeah, you don't. Right. I think they're afraid to ask me to grow something because they know my personality, that they feel like they're going to be committed to buy it, and they're not. So they won't, because they know I'll grow it in a big way. So they don't ask me a lot when I ask them. I'm always asking, what would you like me to grow? Oh, yes. And then Chef Dave at Montague's asked me to grow fava beans. So I grew them for the first time. And they're very good for your soil. They add a lot of nutrients to your soil.
Now, did you have to add stuff to your soil? Because do you have red clay over there?
I have hard red clay, and it was... it was Pruitt property in Abbeville, and they raised hay and cattle on that land for a lot of years. So it wasn't real desirable.
There,
a lot of hay.
A lot of
still
poop.
Still a lot of hay. Now more hay. Not a lot of poop.
Fertilizer, okay.
More hay.
More hay.
I'm always pulling hay, yes.
Okay. But have you put additives like soil or whatever to
I
the
put,
red clay?
Like, I do raised beds. I put worm castings and things like that. I have a lot of worms in my soil because I grow under black plastic, and it attracts a lot of beneficial bugs, including worms. So I don't put a lot of things in my soil. I don't use a lot of raw manures or anything like that. It's not safe. So.
Well, what do you use, the red clay in your beds, or do you?
No.
You know, I mean, that's what I'm saying. You
worm
you have
casting,
a,
I use pure soil. I don't want weeds. So in my raised beds, I use pure soil with worm castings.
Wow. Well, this is pretty darn neat. Now, what is your favorite thing to eat? Of all the vegetables that you
eat. Fruit, of course. It's going to be watermelon.
Watermelon?
I can eat a watermelon, and I only eat the heart.
Right.
I don't eat out by the core.
Okay.
That goes for the deer out in the woods.
Yes.
I eat the heart out of the core. I could eat a half of a watermelon every day. That would be my favorite food.
Wow. And so, you grow then lots of watermelon?
I usually only do like a quarter acre. I don't do a lot of watermelon. A lot of my friends do watermelon. I help them sell them, but I don't do a lot of watermelon.
You don't do a lot yourself. All right. Well, we are here with Penny Parisi. We are talking about her farm, how she got into this, her addictive personality towards farming. I mean, she has just gone, well, I'd say hog wild, but it's not exactly
no
on farming, no livestock on it. And what about the deer, though? Do you have any problems with them?
No, I feed them. No, I don't believe in hurting animals or...
No, I meant, but, do they eat your vegetables
no.
and stuff?
No. Around my house, around the farms, I have electric fences. They're about 6 or 7 feet tall. They've never come in there. Around the house, I use Milorganite, which is made from a human. It's granular. You can get it in the garden stores, and it's made from human manure. And I make an invisible border way away from the garden so it won't wash into the garden.
Right.
And I put that in the deer. As long as you keep that up and maintain it, the deer will not come in there. So I've never had problems with the deer bunnies once in a while at my house.
Interesting. Well, we're going to have to talk about some of the neat things that you've learned like that to help keep the deer away, because I know lots of people that have huge problems with deer coming right into their yards and eating all the vegetation and everything. Well, I am here with Penny Parisi. When we come back, we're going to be talking more about what she farms, how she farms, and even maybe talk a little bit about organic farming and even the GAP program. So don't you go away. We'll be right back. This is WCRS. Right here in Greenwood. We'll be back.
Gold dust at my feet on the sunny side of...
This year will be a simpler year. One fine gift to to last a lifetime, from Mother Earth with love. A diamond to light the way and create the energy to keep your love alive. Only at Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72 Greenwood, 229-6276. Oh, that's right. We're right back here, Sharp Facets Gallery. We have Penny Parisi with Parisi Farms. Now, Penny, I know you said you're getting ready to open your own stand right there at the at your farm. Where exactly are you located?
In Abbeville. The address is 468 Brownlee Road. So when you leave the city of Abbeville, it's out about 7 miles out in the country. And I will open that on Fridays and Saturdays starting next week.
Next week. Okay. And also, you have a website, too.
I do. I have www.parisifarms.com, and my son just redesigned the website for ordering and delivery.
That's the son that lives in Virginia?
Yes, ma'am.
So he wants you to work even harder because now you have a delivery service, too, right?
Free delivery.
Free delivery. Whoa, what have you set yourself up for, Penny?
We're going to go into it very slowly.
Okay. But people can actually go on your website,
yes,
and see the items that are available now for,
yes,
for order.
For order. And we'll keep updating it as things come in. And my heart wants to do it. I agree to it because I have a lot of customers that are shut in, who mm-hmm. don't drive, who are elderly. I have customers that have cancer. They want to eat. And that would be a blessing to be able to serve. I don't really need or want to build the business.
Right.
But I would like to be able to serve the community and my customers better. Or people who come to the stand that work all day.
Right.
By the time they get there, everything they want is already sold. And now they can go online and order it, and I'll have it waiting for them when they get there.
That's really nice, Penny.
Yeah, that
you
is.
It seems like you really care about the food that you serve.
I care about the food I serve and the customers.
Well, you know, that's how I found you, was out there at the farmer's market and telling me whatever I wanted to know about what you had out there. And I've always been impressed about the honesty that you
Thank
put
you.
Forth in what you do. And, you know, the thing I like, if you didn't grow something, you're not telling me that you did. You get it from this farm or you get it from that farm, like your apples that come from Granddad's Apple Farm in Hendersonville, or your strawberries or your blackberries. That's refreshing.
That's very important to me, because when I shop or I go into the grocery store, it's very important to me of where did my food come from, what's it sprayed with, and what country did it come from. So it's very important to me that we be honest and put a sign out and let everybody know what chemicals are used, what's conventional, what's unconventional.
Yeah, are you seeing more people getting interested in you know, about their food, like that it's organic, that it doesn't have all these chemicals and stuff? Are you seeing people more interested in that?
Yes. I believe if you allow people the opportunity to ask questions and open up to them, that they want to know, they're curious, they want to know. And people, I believe, are starting to connect illnesses with chemicals that are sprayed in our food.
Sure. Now, you were just telling me about apple farms and what's happening with our apples there. I had no idea this, what we were telling me, systemic?
Okay, not just apples, but a lot of our food, including vegetables that we get in the grocery store, they're grown conventionally, and they use what is called a systemic. And it's put into, like in a tree, it's put into the root, and then it's watered in, and it lasts all year. So any pests or bugs that come on to affect the apples or peaches, it will kill that bug. The problem is, when you, as a consumer, when you go to eat it, you can't wash off the chemical or pesticide. It's not out on the skin. It's not an outside spray. It's in the fruit and vegetable.
Wow.
Yeah.
And then you were saying something about this is affecting the honeybees and this whole side of things, which, you know, we need the honeybees to be able to pollinate and keep things growing.
All the chemicals and pesticides are affecting the birds, the bees. They're affected highly. It's poison. They say it's safe for us to eat, but
but it's poison to the animals, and the birds are dying. This is a problem.
And when they go and spray the fields, they're wearing full suits now and gas masks. They look like astronauts when they're out there spraying, so it's okay for us to eat. But don't walk on the fields after it's been sprayed.
Okay.
They have signs that say poison, do not come in. And they're wearing full masks and full body suits when they're spraying in the fields.
Hmm.
Some of them, most of them.
Right.
Your large sprayers and commercial growers are. That's a concern for me.
That should be a concern for everybody, actually, right?
Yes.
Yes. So, you know, we love going. The grocery store is very convenient. I mean, you know, you go to the grocery store, you buy this, boom, bam, you're done. People are busy. But when you think about it from that aspect and you want to stay around to be here for your grandchildren and whatnot, and you've got to keep working because we all need money to survive, this is something that would make big sense to be a little more concerned about it.
It's fast and quick and easy. Our world is getting, I was that way. I raised my family that way. It's a quick world and we're always in a hurry. And we eat in Florida, especially, and here too, when you go in the grocery store, it doesn't have to be in season. It's always there all the time. You can eat whatever you want anytime.
Exactly.
And then moving here helps me become more aware of what's in season, what isn't in season. I try to eat in season and local and fresh.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think that's one of the nice things about South Carolina. We're not Florida, but we're not Maine and really cold New York in that area. So the extended growing season. Now, do you do a lot with herbs?
Not a lot, no.
Not a lot?
I don't have time. When I first started the first couple of years, I did a lot of herbs and a lot of flowers, but now it's vegetables, it's food.
I'm sure when you first started, you did this for yourself, right?
I did do it for myself. When I first started, and then by the second year, then I was feeding all the neighbors and giving a lot away and donating a lot. Then I finally showed up at the farmer's market. Like, what do I do with all this? I didn't realize I got so excited that things would grow so easy here. I just kept planting seeds.
Oh, look, we've got more. What are we going to do with it? Now, do you put any up for, do you freeze any or can any of that?
I used to can. I stopped canning. I want it fresh.
Yeah.
Okay. I will freeze once in a while. Like right now, I'll freeze strawberries because I know they're going to go away soon.
Sure.
So, but I prefer to eat it in season when it's fresh. It's better for you and the nutrients are.
Sure, exactly. Now, I've been surprised. Usually when you get when you go into a grocery store, usually you end up with strawberries from either Florida or from California. I've been surprised on how many South Carolina strawberries I've seen this year.
There's more and more push to eat local and more people that are becoming aware. So your grocery stores are bringing in more and more local things from their own area. So I am very impressed that. And we have a big crop of beautiful strawberries this year in South Carolina. So I'm very excited and happy that the stores are doing that. In fact, I just had to stop at Walmart, and they had certified South Carolina milk in Walmart and big stickers to show you. I was very impressed with that from Walmart.
Now, what does that mean? I mean, there is a big push to eat South Carolina and this type of thing. And I understand that market is getting really huge here in South Carolina.
It is. People are becoming more and more aware of where the food comes from and also eating fresh. Because when things are, the older something is, the less nutrients. As soon as it's picked, your nutrients get less and less. And if you want to eat healthy and good food, you should eat it as close and local as you can.
Absolutely. So now, do you think people can grow successfully in their backyards, do a lot of backyard gardening?
Yes, you can. Everything grows here. It's wonderful. And I will be happy to help anybody with plant seeds. I will be happy to show you or talk to anybody
ideas
about it. I try to encourage young people. I get very excited with 4-H clubs and young Savannah Durham, she's 14. She worked with me from Abbeville. She wants to be a farmer when she grows up. I get very excited.
You know, one thing I will say about Abbeville, because I've worked with some of the 4-H groups over there, huge groups of 4-H over there in that Abbeville area. Just amazing.
Mm-hmm. And they want to learn.
And they want to learn.
The kids are like little sponges. They just want to learn, and I want to teach them. I mean, that's our future. That's our future farmers. And people are afraid to grow without chemicals, and they say the bugs are too bad. And I have hope this year because I grow a lot of potatoes, and potatoes get the Colorado potato beetle. No matter where you rotate them, you're going to get the Colorado potato beetle, and usually I'm infested. And because I don't use harmful fertilizers and harmful chemicals, this is my first year after 7 years of potatoes that I can truly say don't ever give up, because I now have predator bugs enough in my garden that they are eating all the eggs that the potato beetle lays. And so there's hope. I'm here to tell you, stick with it. You don't need the 7-Dust and the hard chemicals, because here I went out, I thought over the rain I would be infested, and I went out there and they're full of ladybugs eating all the bad little eggs that the Colorado potato beetle laid all over my potatoes.
You know, what do you think with the way the environment is and what's happening? Do you think that, we're doing away with so much of forest and everything, and of course the animals are getting pushed back and everything. What do you think about the future of the environment and the growing and this type of thing?
I think we need to do more, less yards, more home gardens. We need to encourage people and help each other become more neighborly and grow. I do have concerns with the chemicals in the ground. It goes into our water. I don't think people are aware, and I think we need to learn more about keeping our water and ourselves safe.
Absolutely. Well, we are here with Penny Parisi. We are going to be back in just a second. She has Parisi Farms over there in Abbeville, and just a terrific person, and we're going to talk more with her when we come back, so don't you go away.
McDonald's presents Confessions of an Ex-Hipster.
I loved cappuccinos, so I put on an itchy turtleneck and grew a goatee. But before I knew it, I was into French films, indie rock, and not bathing. Luckily, I got help from McDonald's McCafe cappuccinos. Now I'm watching football, wearing khakis, even high-fiving again. Thank you, McDonald's.
New McCafe mochas, lattes, and cappuccinos from McDonald's. With fresh ground espresso and real steamed milk, it's all the coffee, hold the attitude. At participating McDonald's.
Visit your local McDonald's in Greenwood and Abbeville today.
All right. We're back here. Hey, we've been having a good time here today. We're here with Penny Parisi, who owns Parisi Farms over there in Abbeville. She's getting ready to open up her own stand right over there at the farms, but she's also here in Uptown Greenwood. Penny, when are you going to be there at the Uptown Greenwood? Now, they do have several sellers, and you're there a couple of days a week, or...?
I'm there on Mondays and Thursdays from 9 to 6, and the first and third Saturdays. We're there today.
Today.
My daughter's down there today.
Yeah. So what'd you bring to Uptown Greenwood today?
A lot.
A lot?
Truck full. We have carrots and parsnips. I brought broccoli, kale.
Yeah. Now, you were just telling me about kale. What's kale supposed to be good for?
Kale is becoming a superfood. If you eat it raw... Mm-hmm. It kills cancer cells. It improves your vision. It lowers your cholesterol. Kale is a superfood, and it's very good for you. And
you have to eat it raw?
That's the best way.
Okay.
The nutrients are higher when it's raw. And I use it, I break it apart and use it as my lettuce. Instead of having a salad with lettuce, I use kale as my lettuce. It's very good.
How about that? Now, what is the difference between buying it in the grocery store and buying it? You know, you see organic. I know you're big into organic. What is the difference? You go to the grocery store, you see this organic section, and then you see the regular vegetables. But the organic are always so much more expensive.
Mm-hmm. I priced a few years ago to have three of my different properties certified organic, and it was $5,000 a year. That's a lot of money for a farmer to pay, and it's a lot of money for me to have to charge extra on food. And so when you go in the grocery store, you're going to pay more for the organic than you are for the conventional food. The problem is when I go out shopping in the grocery store, unless I go to Greenville, to Whole Foods or Fresh Market, a lot of the food that's organic here locally doesn't always look fresh, the produce.
Right.
And fresh is very important.
So you would rate fresh over organic?
Depends on what is fresh. I ask a lot of questions of who uses what.
Right.
But, if it's coming from California or a third world country, even though it's organic, if it's coming from Mexico and organic, I would probably rather have sprayed food right here locally, if I'm going to be totally honest.
Right.
I always look at, if it's coming from a third world country, it took a long time to get here, it's not fresh.
Sure.
They usually come over by boat. A lot of it comes by boat.
And not only that, what kind of preservatives are they using to keep it looking
good?
Good, shall we say.
Sprays and waxes.
Waxes
that you are commercial grade waxes that you can eat on most of your vegetables in the grocery store.
I think the most scary thing that you've told us is that when you see them spraying out there and they're wearing covered from head to toe with that special to protect them, and then they leave a sign that says it's poisonous and then they're growing food, that's kind of scary.
It is, and it says poison, do not enter the field. You can't go into the field. The employees cannot go into the field until usually like 12 to 24 hours after they sprayed.
Wow. Okay. So what other good things? Okay, you've just told us about kale, that it's a superfood and it can help with, what was it now, cancer?
Cancer,
and eyesight.
Your cholesterol, your vision. It's a superfood. It's very good for you. You can make kale chips with it. You can cook it.
Yeah.
It's just best for you raw.
Right, best for you raw. Okay.
You can juice and make smoothies.
Juice and make smoothies. All right. So all this kind of stuff. So not only do you know about how to grow it, you also know some of the things that it's good for. Any other super good food out there that you'd tell people?
All your green foods, your broccoli, your cabbage, your collard greens, very, very good for you. They have a lot of nutrients in them that will help you fight off diseases. And so your greens are your highest. And then the wintertime, I go at them greens.
Well, you know, one of the things about it, and I say this all the time on the radio, is that we have to be able to take care of ourselves better. Who knows how this healthcare thing is going to work out? And taking care of yourself would be, in my opinion, the first line of defense. If you can keep yourself healthy, if you can eat healthy, you're going to be in a lot better stead to stand there and say, well, my body is healthy and I can continue working and playing and doing all these things.
And the older I get, the more aware I get, and the healthier I want to eat.
exactly.
My goal of how long I want to live keeps getting longer and longer.
You know, there is something to be said for that. Oh, God, I'll be all right. When I'm 65, if I don't live another year or two, it'll be all right. God knows I'm close to 65. I want to live another 10 years. Exactly.
I had one customer argue with me at the Greenwood stands about a month or two ago, and he told me that if he wants to put 7 dust on his food, it's okay and it won't hurt him.
Okay.
And I let him go on for about 5 minutes about his 7 dust. And finally I said to him, if you feel that comfortable with your 7 dust, may I come over to your house and sprinkle it on your cereal in the morning? And his face turned all red because I made it real.
Right.
It became real for him. He started thinking about, wow, I am eating a poison.
And putting it on my food. Yeah.
So sometimes our denial is so big. My denial is so big sometimes. I mean, I'll pass a chicken truck when I'm going through Saluda. In the middle of the night, they sneak that chicken truck out full of chickens that they're processing. And every time I pass it, makes me so sad. I say, I'll never eat chicken again. And then I go to Grits and Groceries for breakfast like 3 hours later, and I'm eating chicken. She serves me chicken and eggs. And my denial, it's our denial. I forgot that quick.
Right.
I just passed that pit chicken truck, and I said, I'll never do it again. 3 hours later, I'm eating chicken. So it's hard to work through all that.
Well, it is amazing what we put our bodies through, and it's no wonder that obesity isn't a big issue in our country, and that we're just not eating the right foods. Also, we're not working out, exercising, or working hard, like working on a farm, like our forebears did. You know,
yes.
When you think about what they did, and yeah, they sat down and ate great meals, but they didn't overeat because the food wasn't as available and it wasn't as processed and easily just drive-thru and pick up something and keep going.
Everything in the grocery store just about is processed, a lot of it. And they fill it with soy, which is a GMO, and they fill it with, like 50% of the food I just read in the grocery store is filled with soy as a filler to add to it.
I thought soy was good for you.
It's a GMO, genetically modified.
Yes.
So, and 50% to 75% of the food all contains sugar, refined bleached sugar,
yeah.
Which causes cancer.
Okay.
They have led that to cancer. So the rule of thumb that I have just read is if it has more than 3 ingredients,
mm-hmm. Don't eat
you
it.
You don't want it. You want everything as fresh and as natural as you can. So if things are, the more ingredients in it, the more harmful it is for you.
Okay. Well, I guess we won't be eating much anymore.
Sorry.
No, but it's true. I mean, it's
peach
true.
Season's in.
Peach season's in. Okay, we know that Penny likes watermelons. She could eat half a watermelon and be totally satisfied.
That's great.
Yeah. So, you know, Penny, it really has been a pleasure to have you on here. You are going to be at the Greenwood Farmers Market, Uptown Greenwood, Mondays and Thursdays.
Mm-hmm.
And then what Saturday are you there?
First and third Saturdays.
Is it, well, it's probably not, but... being there from 9 o'clock to 6 o'clock. Is that right?
Uh huh.
Yeah. I mean, how do you? Long day. Yeah, and do you have? Do you get a truck over during the day, or do you just make sure you bring enough
Put enough on the truck that you don't run out. But that is a long day, especially if you do it all yourself. You start at midnight. So by the time I open up the stand, I've already done a full 8-hour shift. So if you see me staggering around up there, that's why I'm grateful to have my daughter back and Jeremy to help me in the stand, because that's a long hours. But we're also in Greenwood. I do want to say one thing, a plug for the city. Welburn.
Mm-hmm. Welburn Adams.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The mayor.
Your city mayor and your city manager, Charlie
Bernal,
have supported me as a farmer. Exceptional. Opened every door for me. You have great, great people working in your city for you.
Well,
and I'm very impressed with that. And we're getting a city farmer's market. I just went on a bus with the city on Monday, and we just visited Walterboro and looked at their farmer's market. But they have funding for a new farmer's market down there on Maxwell Avenue.
So the big farmer's market will be coming.
For down there, there's going to be two. Greenwood Farmer's Market wants to stay, so there'll be two separate markets.
Wow. Well, how about that? Good stuff coming to Uptown Greenwood, always growing, always changing, and that's why it is so important, you know. And the nice thing about it being from 9 o'clock in the morning to 6 o'clock at night, there is no problem, shouldn't be a problem, to be able to stop on by and see you up there in Uptown Greenwood, Mondays and Thursdays and first and third Saturdays of, when do you farm? Being here at the farmer's market has to cut down on your ability to be out there working, too.
That's correct. And when I'm not there, everybody says, where is she? I'm farming.
You're farming. It's hard.
I have to keep planting or there won't be crops.
Absolutely. Well, now, what are your what's in season right now and what will be coming? What will be coming in the next couple of weeks here?
Well, the most exciting thing, I don't grow, but it's peaches.
Peaches.
This week is peaches, and it looks like we're going to have a nice peach season. My peaches all come from J.W. Johnson Sons over in Johnston, and we've been using them for about 6 years. They do good things with peach. And what's coming on the farm? Right now I have sweet peas, sugar peas. I have five kinds of peas, fresh peas if anybody wants peas. And I have cucumbers coming, squash, zucchini. It's all there. Tomatoes, I don't know. I usually have them by now, green tomatoes, but I see them another 3 weeks.
Another 3 weeks.
Yeah, maybe four.
Well, Penny Parisi, it has been an absolute pleasure to have you right here on WCRS, right here in Greenwood. I certainly hope sometime during the summer I can get down there and we can chat even on the morning show sometime, and you can tell me what's growing good down there, because you know I'm here, there, and everywhere all over Greenwood. Thanks so much for coming in. If you want to check out their website, what's your website?
www.parisifarms.com. Sorry.
And you do deliver, and you will have it ready for people to pick up too.
Yes, you can even pick it up at the stand.
So this is terrific. Thanks so much for coming out. You did a great job here today, Penny.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
All right. This is WCRS right here in Greenwood. That's going to do it for me here today. So I do want to tell you, though, tonight at Friday night at T.W. Boone's, they're celebrating Jake's invitation to audition for The Voice. And it's a birthdays, a couple of birthdays there. They're going to be having a good time. So that's at T.W. Boone's Friday night. That's going to do it for me. Be back in the morning. Don't you miss it. Bye-bye, everybody.